mind was someplace else, because I knew I was preaching today, and I was struggling with the first lesson, Jeremiah. That is one tough lesson. Now, I have to make a confession. I have been an ordained priest for 55 years. And prior to that was a deacon 1 year. So that's 56 years of preaching. I have never preached on that Jeremiah reading. I have avoided it. Confession, okay? Confession. It has driven me crazy. And so I was struggling with it Wednesday night as they were struggling with the gospel lesson. So I hope you're really struggling, because that's what it's all about today. Grasping what the gospel call is for us today. As I said, I have avoided that Jeremiah reading, but the Holy Spirit would not let go and said, "You need Steve to preach on that." So listen up, you who are older people like me, the Holy Spirit is no respecter of ages. Watch out. I want to begin by kind of framing this reading. Where is it? What's going on? So briefly, I want to do that. It's about the people of God. You and I, we are the people of God. They were the people of God 3,500 years ago. But there may be a kinship in there that we are, a connection that we may need to be aware of, and that may be why it was included in the reading today. You may remember that long before the 2,500 years ago, before that God delivered the people of God out of the slavery, the hardship of Egypt, led them through the Red Sea waters away from the grip of the Pharaoh and into the wilderness where they wandered for 40 years. This was a time of formation for them. They had been called as the people of God to embody the love of God, the graciousness of God, the forgiveness of God. They were to embody that for God. It was in the wilderness that they were given the Ten Commandments. After the 40 years, they went to the Promised Land. But in due time, differences grew among them. And like churches do today sometimes when there's a squabble, they divided. The kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah. Okay? Now, if you have a Bible that may have maps in the back of it, and you look at that time of Judah and Israel dividing, you will see that they are very small compared to the empires that are surrounding them. Egypt, Babylon, Assyria. Assyria totally destroyed Israel. It never existed again until after World War II. That was the end of it. And the Babylonians had their eyes on Judah and were approaching Judah to carry them into slavery, which eventually happened. But this, it's just before this that this passage we read takes place. God called Jeremiah, one of the people of Judah, called him to be a prophet. And the message he had was a terrible one. It was terrible for God to have to give it to him, and it was terrible for Jeremiah to have to give it to his own people. Now you look at them and you say, what's so bad? They worship in the temple. They sing the songs of God. They make their offerings. They say their prayers. But on the other 6 days of the week, it was a different story. And it made God angry, and it made God mad. And this, as for Jeremiah the prophet, it tormented him too. So this is a very troubled reading that we had. And as he delivered the message, Jeremiah, to the people, it angered them. Prophets had a rough time. At one point, they threw him in a dry well to stay, hoping that he would die down in the muck of that dry well. But he got out and went on prophesying. Just after the reading we had, Jeremiah, using God's voice, tells them what's wrong. And I'm going to read it to you because I think this really helps understand this passage. Their ungodly ways include lying, cheating, spreading slander, wrongdoing, involved in crooked deals, and God says, in deceit, they refuse to know me. God and his dear prophet Jeremiah, tormented. Listen to the laments that were in the reading today. This could be God, this could be Jeremiah. Sometimes it's hard to tell which one it is because they're so close together. I catch my breath from sorrow. My heart aches within me. I am broken. I plunge into gloom, desolation. It has all gripped me. Would that my head were water and my eye the font of tears, that I might weep day and night. They are all adulterers, an assembly of traitors. Wow. Both God and Jeremiah are fit to be tied. They cannot believe that the people of God would turn into such a godless direction. There's an author that a number of you have loved and read and enjoyed and gathered a lot from his books. He died last month. His name is Frederick Buechner. He is a wonderful writer, and I have relied on him, and I found something he had to say about this kind of situation. This is what Buechner says. When it comes to the hurt of your child, you are but helpless. The child makes terrible mistakes, and there is very little you can do to ease his pain, especially when so often you are part of his pain as the child is a part of yours. There's no way to make him strong with such strengths as you may have found through your experiences, or wise enough that you, with the wisdom you have. And even if you could, it would not be right, because it would be your way and not his. The child's pain becomes your pain. And as the innocent bystander, it is even a worse pain for you. And even in the long run, the bravest front is not much use. Anger, pain, pathos. We find God and Jeremiah among people who have gone astray. After that reading this morning, the reader said to us all, "Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people." And we responded, "Thanks be to God." This reading, the psalm, and the gospel lesson kind of deal with the underside of life that we have to deal with. What is your response? What is your response to the direction of God's people today? I think this is what the readings are calling us to do, to look at ourselves. It's a we, not just me, but all of us. The church, is it bearing the light and love of God? Is it doing that? And has it ever occurred to you that when we do err and stray, it gives pain to God? God is disappointed. God has called us to more. What have we done and left undone? What are our sinful thoughts and words and deeds that we're going to confess in a few minutes? What are they? Are they just words on a page and we go on to the next thing? Or is it a confession? A confession, yeah. I've been a part of something that wasn't right. And we have to be able to name it, otherwise it's not real. We have to be able to name it. We can genuinely confess. We can always do that. And in so doing, there is forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ. The arms of Christ are wide for us, forgiving us when we confess our sins, a wideness in his mercy. There's a hymn that goes like that. There's a wideness in God's mercy. I believe that Jesus, along with all the saints, it's cheering us on to shine brightly as the people of God in this world today. Today, the church is on the stage of history. This is our day. This is our time to shine brightly with the love and forgiveness, the generosity, the commitment of God. And it is through Jesus Christ that directs us to love the Lord, our God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, to love ourselves. Love ourselves and to love our neighbors. Maybe even the ones we don't love. To love our neighbors, the ones nearby, and the ones far away. To love them as we love ourselves. Amen.